2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Army, and welcome to the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Sign up today using the link in the description to gain access to our premium fantasy golf tools, which include the in-depth cheat sheet, the Domination Station lineup optimizer, and tools for every single daily fantasy sport there is. So come check us out at DFSArmy.com and support the pod by using promo code TACO on signup for a lifetime 20% off. So this week we're staying in the Midwest and headed to Memphis, Tennessee for the FedEx St. Jude Classic. The course at TPC Southwind is a 72,000-yard par 70 with 7 par 4s ranging between 450 and 500 yards. That's the same number that were on the course last week from that range. So even though last week was a par 72, The two tournaments have a little bit of similarity there, but the greens here are Bermuda, and sort of like last week, they're on the smaller side, but the greens are nowhere as fast. They're only a 12 on the stimp meter compared to last week's 13.5. The fairways are narrow, but they get a little bit wider the longer you hit the ball. Historically, it's a very hard course to drive the ball at, with only 56% of drives finding the fairway last year and under 60% of greens being hit. So it's a tougher course. It's one of the 10 hardest courses on tour. And it ranked top 10 in double bogey and triple bogey percentage. The course has a ton of water all around it. You can get into tons of trouble in the water. This is probably right there with TPC Sawgrass is one of the most difficult courses when it comes to keeping it out of the water. So that's why the triple and double bogey percentages are so high. And the eagle percentage is the eighth lowest on tour, because there are only two par fives, obviously, but they're both very reachable. The par four scoring is just going to be really key here, because 12 of the 18 holes are par fours. So that's going to be super important this week. Statistically, I'm looking at approach the most by a lot. This seems to be a pure approach course if you look at historical winners and the type of people that tend to do well here. I wouldn't give any sort of lean to driving accuracy versus driving distance this week. The distance is nice because the fairways get a little longer the farther you, or a little wider the farther you hit the ball. But at the same time, you're going to run into just a ton of trouble at this course. And most of the time when you get in trouble in the water, it's because of your approach game. And if this is going to be similar to Sawgrass, you're going to need to be hitting your irons on point. So that's what I care about the most. I'll be weighting it the most. Maybe a little bit more stroke scanned approach than you would on a normal week with so many people getting into trouble and having to take drops and stuff like that. Don't really care about putting. Course history does seem to be pretty important here, as there are several people with streaks of very, very consistent good finishes here. Most of them are the guys up at the top, and it makes a little bit of sense. This is a weaker field because of it being the week before the U.S. Open, and there is going to be a bit of chaos when it comes to U.S. Open qualifying and people potentially just using this as like a warm-up, like we saw at this event last year. I think Dustin Johnson, after 9 holes, he withdrew. And on the other end of the spectrum, you've got tons of scrub guys with lots of motivation, lots of your middling players trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. So maybe people are playing harder than usual. maybe people just kind of give up if they're not, like, in contention or whatever. It's hard to know exactly what to think about some of these guys. You have to do it on a case-by-case basis. But after a few weeks of weather just being crazy in these last few events, we should be getting picture-perfect weather for this event. So that's something to look forward to. Maybe it'll be a little bit more predictable, but recently things have just been crazy. Like last week, DJ and Rom both missed the cut at 30%+ ownership each. So who knows what to make of things. Just a few weeks ago, Pat Perez was the highest owned player on the board and he missed the cut. So this week, with all of the variants and things being unknown and up in the air with the U.S. Open qualifying and this being a difficult course with water that always adds a ton of variance to every tournament that has a bunch of water in it. Now, this is going to be a great week to play the ownership percentages and to perhaps fade the middling plays or lower-end plays that everybody seems to be on. Up top, you kind of have to pick and choose there. They're all going to be popular with not many top-tier options this week. But I'm almost tempted to say that going down lower, you should be playing the ownership percentages more than even playing like the statistics or form or odds or whatever, because it's just going to be another one of those crazy weeks. We never know who's going to come out of nowhere and win. Like, we've seen at this tournament a few times in the past. But moving on to the top tier plays, and this is going to be important this week because there are only a handful of real top men. And those men are Fowler, Koepka, Scott, Molinari, and Phil Mickelson. They're the only guys above 10,000. We've got Ricky Fowler up there at 12,000. So as you can tell, the strength of this field, very weak compared to what we've been seeing in the weeks past. Ricky Fowler comes in 9-1 odds, probably would be 8-1 odds by the time tee-off happens because he's clearly the class of the field. I know that Koepka has a very strong history here, but Fowler, obviously the favorite here. Not like a 6 or 7-1 favorite or anything. 9-1, that's okay for a $12,000 guy. Better than like 11-12-1s that we've seen in the past at 12,000, but he leads the field in both adjusted stroke average and efficiency scoring projections on the cheat sheet, and by considerable margins too. So Fowler, statistically, he's way better than everyone else, and that makes a lot of sense. He's been on a tear all season, only missing one cut, several top 10 finishes, coming off the second place finish at the Memorial. Fowler's going to be very popular, and it just makes a lot of sense. You can, it's not like the best week for punting down low, but people still do it because there are a lot of interesting names down there. And Fowler is always popular as he is. He's played here once before in 2014, finished 13th. So no real reason to be off of him unless you want to get off of the ownership and hope he ends up like Rom or DJ did last week. Brooks Koepka at 11,500. Second here last year and third in 2015. Another top 20 finish back in 2014. So his course history here is pretty amazing. And he's turned it around as of late, making 5 straight cuts, finishing second in Texas, 31st last week. Not too bad. The stats have turned around quite a bit, driving it very long off of the tee. I kind of don't like him at all this week because he ranks very, very poorly in par 4 scoring 450 to 500 yards. And that's where 7 of the holes are in this course, and that's going to be key with his super bombing advantage really toned down with the reachabilities of these par 5s. So Koepka, great history here, good form, he's going to be popular, but I won't be playing him just based off of wanting to fade the ownership and the statistical mismatch that I see. His approach stats haven't been very good either, coming in slightly under field average. Not too great, But he was 13th last week in strokes gained approach at the Memorial, so that could be a reason to not be completely off of him. Obviously, his stats are bad from the beginning of the season, and he's admittedly getting a lot better. I'm just looking for reasons to get off of his high ownership, which will probably come in just a little bit under Fowler, maybe like 25%. Adam Scott is 11,000. I don't think he'll be very popular, and his approach game is like in the toilet compared to years past right now, so it's kind of concerning, but his form has been fine. Just 11,000 in this field. Koepka and Fowler obviously look like more appealing options, but he could be a nice play to go somewhat heavy on. He'll almost certainly make the cut, and he can be a nice low-owned top 10 guy. I don't see him winning exactly, but a top 10 or top 5, not completely out of the picture for Scott. He's just going to be lower owned because every play above and below him is just better. So he would just be a contrarian option or pivot off of Koepka. Or the next guy I will talk about, Francesco Molinari, who I imagine is going to be very popular. Very, very popular. At 10,500, he's getting way more expensive than ever. But he's going to be like ultra chalk of all chalk on FanDuel, where he's only 8,700. And that's nuts because he's been one of the best in the entire PGA Tour this year at strokes gained approach. His form is ridiculous. Since winning the Italian Open late last year, he has 11 top 20 finishes and only one miscut in 16 events. Yeah, that's pretty good. He's most recently coming off of a second place finish at the BMW PGA Championships, and that was overseas in the European Tour, but that is like the strongest field that they have all year. It's basically their version of the Players' Championship. And speaking of the Players' Championship, that's where we last saw him in America, and he finished T6 there. So the dude's riding some super hot form. Everyone is going to ride him up. He's going to be the play of the upper tier range. And I can't really blame people. He's money in the bank pretty much every week at a course like this. His elite par 4 scoring and approach game just makes so much sense. And you used to be able to get him at somewhat lower ownership with him being a European guy, but he's played on the PGA Tour so much now, everybody knows who he is, and everybody's going to use him. And I can't really blame them. Lock him onto cash teams, and the only reason you wouldn't play him in GPP is to fade his heavy ownership. And I think these four of these top five guys right here are all going to be very heavily owned, so they might steal a little ownership from each other. But Fowler, Koepka, Molinari, and Phil Mickelson, who I'm about to talk about here, they're all going to just soak up so much ownership that I think it's going to create a little bit of a dead spot in the $9,000 range. So I want to focus on those plays a little bit. But first, let me talk about the course horse himself, Phil Mickelson. Obviously, the best track record here in recent times of anyone except for maybe Koepka. Second last year, tied with Koepka, and also tied with him the year before, finishing T3, T11 2014, and T2 in 2013. The dude loves this course, and it's the course that plays the week before the U.S. Open. What other course is he a course horse at? Oh yeah, the Shell Houston Open, which is a week before the Masters. So for some reason, he just really likes to play these warm-up courses for the big events, and he just goes out there and has fun with it. Always does well. I don't know if there's too much to read into here, but that's the narrative. He hasn't missed a cut all year. He's like, I think he's 11 for 11. So, yeah, people are going to see that. Everyone loves Phil Mickelson. They're going to play him. He will not be playing the U.S. Open, most likely, according to him. I think he'll still play somehow or find a way to play. But he's, as of right now, he's not going to play the U.S. Open because he's trying to attend his daughter's graduation from high school. And that's the reason he's cited for not playing in the U.S. Open, but he's left the doors open for it. He hasn't withdrawn yet. He just says that he most likely won't play. But I don't think that really matters to him this week. He's just going to go about this as a normal tournament, and a tournament that he has very good success here at. And you know he's win thirsty. It's been a while since he's won. So Phil Mickelson going to be, if Molinari's not the most popular guy in this range, it's going to be Phil Mickelson. I know it seems kind of weird because we've been getting him for like crazy low prices recently for like no reason, but at an event like this, just over $10,000, that's a perfectly fine price to pay for Phil, who hasn't let anyone down all year. He's been like the elite cash play, because even though he gets in trouble all the time, so does everyone else in this course, and who's the best at getting out of trouble? It's Phil Mickelson. So Mickelson, Molinari, Koepka, Fowler, these four guys, if you're trying to be contrarian, you can't really fade them all. You just got to kind of pick and choose your favorites, and there are lots of reasons to like these guys. I'm personally going to focus more on Molinari and Mickelson and play some Scott to be a little different, and a little bit of Fowler, and generally stay away from Koepka. But you can really play any of these guys that you want up here. Just use your best judgment. Down to Russell Henley, 9,800. I kind of like him a bit too, even though his perfect form for the year came to a crashing halt when we last saw him at the Byron Nelson. That was a few weeks ago. He's still really good here. Finished 7th last year. In a field like this, I don't see much wrong with using him, but he's not going to be popular with guys like Mickelson and Molinari sucking all the ownership out of this little range, so someone to consider. Horschel might be a little more popular at 9,500 because he has 3 straight top 10 finishes here, and he just had that win recently at the Byron Nelson, and statistically he's been looking pretty good. One of the best on tour at greens and regulation, like he is every single year, which suggests a pretty good approach game, although statistically his approach has actually been slightly under average. But he has missed like tons of cuts, 4 cuts in the last 8 weeks on tour. But you know, at this field, anyone can win, and he's not going to be super popular. But if you're going to go with someone from this range, the $9,000 range, you got to go with the defending champ, Daniel Berger, 9,300. He's only played the course once and won. We haven't seen him in a few weeks. Last time we saw him was at the Players, and he kind of struggled after just barely making the cut. Although he had started out the tournament really well, just kind of fizzled out there. He loves Bermuda grass greens, and he's going to be one of those important guys that average under par in the key range of par 4 scoring 450 to 500 yards. So I think he's going to go a little under-owned compared to what he ought to be, just with everybody wanting to spend up on those $10,000-plus guys. And I like him better than pretty much everyone else in this range. Ryan Palmer has some decent course history here, but his form has been kind of really up and down recently. Just like a super bomber. But he gains most of his value on par 5s, and there are only 2 par 5s, and they're so reachable, they don't really give much of an advantage to these par 5 bomber kind of guys. Kevin Chappell could be interesting. His form has been pretty good with several made cuts in a row, the win in Texas, top 10 at the Masters. Last week when we published our odds drifts, he had drifted the most in the right direction. He had the highest movement of anyone on the board, and he ended up being a little lackluster on the weekend last week, but he made the cut. He did just fine. He's only played here once in 2015, finished T22, so he makes for an interesting play in this kind of dead range at 8,800. At 8,600, we have Rafael Cabrera Bello, who flashed some good form at the Wells Fargo and the Players tournaments, and then went right back to his cut-missing ways. Just missing the cut last week, pretty bad. Not too interested in him. Definitely not interested in him on FanDuel, where he's just ridiculously overpriced. the play of this range, the lower $8,000 range, obviously is going to be Kyle Stanley. His Vegas odds have been moving very rapidly. He's getting bet up here. Just finished sixth at the Memorial last week. There'd be his third top 10 finish in five events as he finished T4 at the Players and eighth at the Shell Houston. The guy's form has been awesome all year long, and he's rounding into form right at the right time because he's got to be a very interesting U.S. Open play. It seems like a place where he could excel at. $8,400 on DraftKings, that's okay. But the $6,800 price tag on FanDuel, that's what has me interested. $6,800 for a guy who's shot up to being like the 8th or 9th favorite on this entire field. Pretty crazy. Another crazy FanDuel play that's right underneath him in DraftKings pricing. Brian Gay, who we saw come 6th here last year and had a couple of 6th place finishes recently at the RBC Heritage and at Texas, so the 666. Maybe the devil will help. Okay, that might be a little insensitive since his last name is Gay, but I digress. He's $5,700 on FanDuel. That's pretty damn good. Made 5 of 6 cuts recently on tour. It's looking like it's not going to rain, which will help some of these shorter drivers of the ball. I'm for it. On FanDuel, just lock him in. He's way too cheap. Sungjae Noh has some interesting course history here. 3 top 7 finishes in 4 events, but he did miss the cut in 2013. He's $6,400 on FanDuel. Another interesting play there with their new setup. There aren't as many like super low scrubs you can punt this week. The pricing's tightened up a little bit, so you got to really abuse guys like Gay or Stanley. So Sungjae Noh, this guy's been all over the place recently. He's withdrawn, he's missed the cut, he's made the cut and then MDF'd, and he's also had some really good finishes recently. 5th at the Wells Fargo, 22 at the Players. So he's been all over the place. This is like the definition of a GPP play. I like his really good scrambling. That's pretty much the best part of his game. He has no driving accuracy whatsoever. Just kind of all over the place. Statistically wouldn't pop out too much in this range, but the course history and just his volatility has me a little interested. Stewart Cink at 8,000. He's a top 30 machine on tour this year. He just qualified to get into the U.S. Open with these qualifier tournaments that they're doing over the last few days. So I don't know if he'll like play. A lot of guys have withdrawn so far. Should probably actually mention that. Kelly Kraft, Steve Stricker, Jamie Lovemark, and Keegan Bradley have all withdrawn. So that's an interesting thing to note this week, is that the guys that have qualified for the U.S. Open, they might not be too into it this week, or they might really not give a crap. But if you forget about that and just look at Cink as a play, the dude's been cash money all year long, not even just making the cut, but putting all sorts of top 30 finishes together. You gotta like Cink a little bit. And then another crazy mispricing here, Charles Schwartzel at 7,900. He's going to be popular just based on odds alone. He has the most, he's basically the most mispriced guy. If you just look at the odds, he's 30-1, surrounded by guys who are like 60, 70-1, 80-1, 90-1, 100-1. So he sticks out like a sore thumb. He's had that issue with his wrist recently, but he made the cut last week at the Memorial, so I think he's fine. You can play him, and I don't know if he'll be super, super popular, but he'll be pretty popular, I guess like 20% or so. But he's a strong play just because he's so underpriced. He's such a good player at such a bad field. A bit further down into the $7,000 range, right at the mid-$7,000 range, you have a few interesting options with Summer Hayes, who looked like he could have won the tournament last week, but choked pretty hard on Sunday. Smiley Kaufman, who had been putting up some good finishes recently until the missed cut at the Memorial. Ian Poulter, who has been really good all season long, consistently making cuts. Very mispriced here, 7,600. He's going to be a really important play. And the two things he excels at the most are approach and scrambling. Now, that's like the epitome of his game this year. So, and this is a course where those are the most important factors. So I like Poulter a lot. And Graham McDowell at 7,500. He's kind of another mispriced guy. The dude's been a cut-making machine all year. Just a well-rounded game. Very good putting. Like McDowell. Matt Jones has a few good finishes in a row here. Third in 2015 and T26 last year. And I don't know, he's just kind of like made cuts but not done too much with them this year. But at 7,500, he's not going to be popular at all. He's going to be one of these guys that I like a lot just due to knowing that they're not going to be anything over 10% owned. Makes me comfortable going like, say, 20-25% with them because I'm really looking to play the ownership this week. Another guy I like in this range that's just unfortunately overpriced, but maybe he'll get people off of him. Chad Campbell has a really solid course history here. He's 7-for-7 in cuts made with two top 10 finishes, his most recent coming in 2015. He's a pretty good ball striker, and I like him just because he's never ever going to be anything more than like 5% owned. Just another really nice guy to go in on. You'll find that when you get down to the $6,000 range, guys with great course history aren't going to be like incredibly highly owned unless they're already known commodities, and Chad Campbell's not really that guy. A guy that will be popular in this range was popular last week and burned a lot of people. That was just the theme of the week last week, I guess. But Kevin Chui, who had been on a rampage of like six straight top 20 finishes, he missed the cut pretty badly at the Memorial. But if you're willing to forgive him and get back on the train, he's 7,400 on DraftKings, 6,900 on FanDuel. So he makes for a mighty fine play on either site. He'll just be popular because no one else in this range is really going to suck in ownership. I guess Sung Kang is someone that people have been playing a lot recently, but he's kind of faded off in recent weeks. He was about as bad as you could be in weekend golf last week on DraftKings, and unfortunately I used a lot of him on the weekend. I think he ended up finishing dead last or second to last of all the guys that made the cut. So, but his cut made streak is still on, like, what is it, like 7 or 8 made cuts in a row. If you think he can get back on track here, he's going to be a guy that people are going to get off of, I think, just because they see this downward trend from him. But he could still be just as fine as ever before. Is it time to start taking Ricky Barnes seriously? He had 4 made cuts in a row, but I would look and go, so? He finished like T60 in every single one of these made cuts. Now he's been the first round leader like 2 weeks in a row or something like that. Or he wasn't the first round leader last week, but he was like up there. Just out of nowhere, he had like a crazy round. So 2 straight top 25 finishes for him. 7,300 is just very expensive for a scrub golfer. So I'll pass. At the same price, I can get William McGirt, who was a popular play last week and just barely made the cut and didn't do much with it. But the dude's still medium-term, long-term, recent form has just been so much better than everyone else in this range. He should be like an $8,000 guy, but he's here at $7,400. He'll be popular, I'm sure. He's just so underpriced. A couple other guys like that in this range. Danny Lee at $7,200, and also Peter Uihlein at $7,200, who we saw last week have yet another top 30 finish. I think that's like 9 or 10 top 30 finishes in a row for him, mostly on the European Tour, but he hasn't missed a beat, hasn't finished worse than T25 in America so far in 2 events on the year. So we saw him do good at another pre-major event at Houston, finishing T23, and I think he's going to be popular on DraftKings because people click on his game log and look at all his European Tour events and go, oh my god, just play the crap out of him. I don't think he'll be popular on FanDuel. He's kind of in a a range that people don't go to very often with the tendency to go studs and scrubs on FanDuel, but he's at 7,000 there. I kind of like him a lot. Back to Danny Lee, he had put three good finishes in a row here recently, a couple of top tens as well. He's never missed the cut here in two tries, but he hasn't played here since 2014. He could be interesting. He's been very good at his approach game recently. So the odds makers obviously know this. He's at 45-1 in a range where he's surrounded by guys who are 150, 200, even 250-1. So sticks out like a sore thumb if you look at the cheat sheet. And then after him, there's a really long, just ugly road filled with plays that nobody wants to make. Like, the 72, 71, $7,000 range is just all garbage. It really is. You have a few guys that have odds that stick out. Hudson Swafford, three missed cuts in a row. Jim Furyk, six missed cuts in a row, or five missed cuts in a row, something like that. And Harris English, who made his last cut but missed his previous four before that. So this is just like a graveyard range. If you really want to search for some value in this range, it's hard to, because like every single person, 72,000 to like 7,000, all have at least like three missed cuts in their recent form. It's crazy. Like, they just shoved them all into one range this week. If I were to take a shot on any of these guys this week, it would be Harris English, because he's a former winner here and has a generally good course history. And he does have the, he's one of the few guys out here that has a made cut most recently instead of just a streak of missed cuts, but still not too hope inspiring. But if you move on down to 6,800, that's when things get very interesting. You have JB Holmes, who's 9,100 on FanDuel at 6,800 on DraftKings. That's crazy. I don't even care that he has two missed cuts in a row right now. Like, that's just way too cheap of a price for someone like JB Holmes. It's ridiculous. He could easily win this thing. He should be like $8,000, kind of like where he's been recently. Just two missed cuts in a row. Everyone's going to be off of him. Nobody likes to play guys that have two missed cuts in a row. I think he's going to be an incredible value down here at 6,800. There are a couple of other guys in this range that I like. I like Tom Hoge, especially at $5,000 on FanDuel. I think that's great. Two made cuts here, T12 in 2015. Hasn't been bad on tour recently. Hasn't like done too much with his made cuts and all that, but makes more cuts than misses. It's his approach game that's the key to his success. It doesn't look too great on the stats so far this year, but long term, we know he's one of the best like long par four scorers. A couple of other plays in this range that might be interesting are John Ha, who just seems underpriced, and Willie Wilcox, who is someone that I was on a lot before. I know he's statistically like really good, just we haven't seen him on tour too much recently. Although he recently finished T27 at the Byron Nelson, but he's doing some qualification today actually for the US Open, so I don't know if he'll withdraw or whatnot. You have to check on the news and all that, but as of right now, he's in the field at 6,800. That's not bad. At $67,000, we have a few other pretty good plays. Nick Watney, Scott Brown, JT Poston, probably the most interesting of this entire range, because he's been really good on the season. He has one bad round and misses a cut two events ago at the Byron Nelson, but other than that, he's been a cut-making machine all year long. And the week after he missed the cut at the Byron Nelson, he immediately came back at the Dean and DeLuca and was up there early in the tournament. Ended up settling to a T44 finish, but still, the dude's just a solid cut maker. 6,700, that's just way too cheap for a garbage field like this. Camilo Villegas is also a little bit interesting, because in the last 6 years, he has four top 20 finishes. T3 in 2011, T8 in 2010. Last year he finished T58, and honestly his game's fallen off a lot, but if there's one thing that he can do better than almost anyone in the entire field, strokes gained approach. Everything else in his game is pretty much garbage outside of his putting, but it's a strokes gained approach, which is just way better than almost anyone in this entire field, that has me thinking about him a little bit here. Oh, how the mighty have fallen, because I remember this guy in the upper 9,000s at one point, but at 6,600 on DraftKings, we have Luke List, who has just fallen off of the face of the earth after being a top 15 machine very early in the season. He has missed 5 of 6 cuts and is down at 6,600. If you believe in him, he's just so ridiculously cheap, they're baiting you here, but his form is just so bad. At 6,500, you gotta have a lot of love for Boo Weekly. Terrible, terrible putter, but he's been one of the best ball strikers on tour recently. His numbers are off the charts, honestly, on both his driving accuracy and his strokes gained approach. He's up almost near the top of the field. At this event, he has made 7 cuts in a row, last year finishing T12, and in 2015 finishing T8. He's very good at, like, TPC-style courses. His approach game is just nasty. And the only issue I see with him is atrociously bad putting and really bad strokes gained around the green and scrambling. But in recent weeks, we've seen him near the top, or not near the top, but at the top of the numbers in strokes gained approach. It's just been his terrible putting that's been keeping him from posting any decent finishes. But this is a course he's very good at. He is a very course history dependent golfer. I like Boo Weekly a lot at 6,500. And this is also the one event a year where you get to play Ben Crane. Ben Crane is awesome here. He makes the cut every single year. And back in 2014, he won at this event. Also has some top 20s to his credit as well. So don't sleep on Ben Crane. He's been making cuts, not really doing much with them, but making cuts on tour. Super, super short, but fortunately for him, it won't rain. I like using him at 6,500, pretty much in the same boat as Boo Weekly. They're basically the same play. Fabian Gomez is also at 6,500, and he's a multiple-time winner on tour. He's usually always in really bad form, but he just kind of strikes out of nowhere. And he did that here in 2015. Not his only win on tour over the last couple of years, so lightning strikes every now and again with him. Just worth the lightest of sprinkles, and kind of interesting at 5,300 on FanDuel. Going down to the bottom of the barrel here, at 6,400, I always like Tim Wilkinson. He's missed his last 3 cuts in a row now, but I'll hold out a little bit of hope for him, because his scrambling is one of the best in the PGA Tour. And really good approach. You know, statistically it makes sense here, but if he misses here, I might have to finally let him go on his way. And of course that'll be winning, like wins the tournament or something. But slim pickings down here. You see the return of SJ Park, or Sungjoon Park. I think we saw him on the European Tour recently, actually doing really well, just kind of out of nowhere. Not an actually interesting play, just interesting to see him in the field again. He's such an old guy. Carl Peterson has a good course history here, but his form is so bad that no thank you. Really nothing at the bottom of the barrel this week on DraftKings. They did a reasonable job pricing the very, very bottom. At 6,400, I forgot to mention my favorite play of the whole bottom of the barrel, and that is Ches Reavie at 6,400. Most recently finishing T12 here in 2015, another top 30 finish back in 2013. Has made 4 of 5 cuts, just been okay this season, but we've seen him do really well before. Long term, you think about him as a cuts-made machine, and very good at approach. That's what he does best, par 4 scoring, the works. So at 6,400, he's interesting. And one more play that I really ought to mention here. At 6,600, you've got Braden Thornberry. There are no stats or anything on him because he is freshly off of an NCAA championship. He's $4,600 on FanDuel. That's where I think he's the most interesting. But we have to be realistic about it. Granted, he won 5 times in college, playing for Ole Miss en route to a hefty victory at the NCAA championships. Like, I think he won by like 6 or 7 strokes. The dude's a beast. He's been very hyped up. Kind of reminds you of like a, it's hard to say exactly. Maybe like a Bryson DeChambeau. We've seen with these NCAA champions, it's really hit or miss. Let me just read you off the last like 10 NCAA championship winners, and you can kind of get a sense at how good they really are. You've got Thornberry, obviously. Last year's Aaron Wise, who hasn't really done much on tour yet. Bryson DeChambeau, who is very popular but has been just awful this year. Cameron Wilson, who never really made it on tour. Max Homa, who you'll see at like 6,500 every week, missing the cut. The exception to this being Thomas Peters, winning it back in 2012. Obviously, he's really good. He's a great player. But he may be a bit of a European exception. John Peterson won in 2011. He's in this field, and he's okay, but he's no world beater. And Scott Langley in 2010. So just because they're NCAA champions doesn't mean they're going to be great, but I'm just saying, sprinkle a little bit on Thornberry just in case he's like a world beater or something, like he's the next Tiger Woods. Just a little bit, like on FanDuel, 4,600. That's not a bad punt, but don't go too crazy on the narrative. Just understand that he'll get some coverage for sure. And you'll be like, I should have picked this guy, but really just the lightest sprinkle, just in case. That's how you approach this week with Braden Thornberry. Great name, by the way, Braden Thornberry. I wonder if his dad's name is Nigel. Okay, I'm not very funny. But yeah, that'll do it for this week. Kind of a shorter pod. I've been kind of busy as of late. Coming at you a little bit later than usual, but still on a Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. Love my Taco Tuesday. Best of luck to you guys this week at the St. Jude Classic. And FanDuel has pricing out for the U.S. Open. Waiting on DraftKings here, but once that's out, I will get an early podcast out. Maybe separate podcast for FanDuel and DraftKings. But we'll definitely have some nice extra content for the U.S. Open. Just waiting on salaries to drop there on DraftKings. See you guys next week at Erin Hills. That crappy Fox coverage. And hopefully you win money this week to save up for it. I know you guys will, so best of luck to you guys, and see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New level to your game.